You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. Newchurches.com is your online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find, I'm actually going all from memory, here you'll find a cadre, a smorgasbord of experts, those are not in there, who can help you.
A smorgasbord?
A smorgasbord. I went in there, but I can't remember what else was in there. Keep going. You pick it up from there. You run. I'm like, it's like a handoff. Go, go.
As well as the community of church planting and multi-site.
A smorgasbord.
All you can eat places.
Exactly.
What is your favorite? What do you go for at the smorgasbord?
I don't know. I'm usually trying to low carb because my diet's working so well. But I don't know. I guess stuff like that.
So what is it? What do you go? What do you go for?
Where do I go? I don't go anywhere. You mean
no.
Is that?
What do you go for? What kind of? Do you go straight to the roast beef?
I hate to admit my ignorance. I don't really know what a smorgasbord is, other than like a metaphor. I think of it as.
Okay.
So what is that? Is that a type of food?
It's like Golden Corral. Or you like all you can eat buffet. What a smorgasbord is. Yeah.
I don't even know.
So, hey, there you go. Well, and you know, I don't know what the etymology is behind smorgasbord. Is that like,
you know, I really
Ukrainian
didn't expect,
I'm or something like
right
that.
Now. I'm guessing it sounds like Scandinavian.
It does kind of.
Smorgasbord. All right, I'm looking it up.
I think it's smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord.
Is it Borg?
It's got the upsilons and all those letters in there. It's a type of Scandinavian meal originating in Sweden, served buffet style with multiple hot dishes and various foods. There you go. Boom.
There you go.
I knew this all the time.
Giving you fun facts every week on the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Exactly.
Well, let's get into our question today from Jason.
Hi, this is Jason in Kearney, Nebraska. My question is about ordination. If you have to be ordained before you start up a church plant, or can you start up a church plant then get ordained? And also along the lines of, if you want to be in a non-denominational church and everything, or if you have to go mainstream and be with like a AG church or Southern Baptist, or what, if we could kind of get elaborated on that. Thanks.
All right. This is over 200 questions later. We have not really had one on ordination. We've talked a little bit about denominational, non-denominational routes of planting, but we've never really kind of touched this as a whole for a podcast episode. And Ed, I remember there's an article you wrote just about the rise of non-denominational churches.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then those are related. So, all right. So,
yeah, I think there's two things we can talk about there.
Can you plant a church without being ordained? I would say, since the Apostle Paul did so, yes.
all right. Next question.
Yeah. Next question. Well, sort of. I mean, okay. So, ordination is a construct that many churches, movements, and denominations have created that basically sets a person apart for ministry. So again, I think there's certainly biblical warrant for that. And I've been ordained. I have my ordination certificate in view right now. I'm looking at it on my wall. So I've been ordained, and that means that a church set me apart for ministry. And I'm deeply thankful for that.
And it's a church that set you apart there because you're ordained Baptist.
Yes, and it could be different by, you know, it could be presbytery, it could be whatever. There's 100 different ways to do this. So, yeah, in my denominational tradition, we have local church ordination, mm-hmm. which tells you, if you ever hear like a Baptist minister did so-and-so, those phrases are largely meaningless. So if you see a Baptist minister arrested, Baptist can ordain a house plant. Sometimes, well, I'm ordained, so there you go. But I do take it seriously because I think that church has, and not every church takes it seriously, has set me apart, saying that God has, in a sense, a unique role, an office, if you will, and therefore I've been ordained into this role, and I hold a pastoral leadership role. Now, here's what I would say. I think that is a construct that has developed over time that is rooted in a biblical teaching. Now, so here's what I would say. Here's my caution. What I would say is, I think that the answer to this question is yes, you can plant a church without being ordained if you are defining ordination as the construct that has emerged from the biblical practice. If the biblical practice is still followed, I do believe that somebody should set you aside for this task. You should meet somebody, should determine that you meet these 1 Timothy 3 biblical qualifications. Somebody should lay hands on you and say you are called, and they agree with that calling as well. And so I think all of those things, well, I think all of those things ultimately should be there. So is that ordained? Well, it's probably an informal form thereof.
Yeah. I mean, the ordination, the concept of ordination, it's important because it's important for us to outline this, because there's a lot of different ways that churches and denominations view that process, right? So you have the high church end, and then you got the low church end. And I mean, even to answer Jason's question, I agree with you, Ed, that, I mean, you don't necessarily have to be ordained before church planting, but I would advise it in the sense of, yes, you do need to have someone supporting you who's, you know, affirming your 1 Timothy 3 qualifications and saying, hey, we're going to support them. Yes, they are called to ministry. And it's really a vetting process. But it's interesting, Ed, even if we were just to take a few minutes to discuss the differences in what ordination even actually means, right, in different denominational traditions. So you were ordained Baptist, and I'm interested to hear what did you have to do to get ordained in your church? Because that varies largely between Baptist churches, because it's really up to that church as to who they're going to ordain and how.
I had an ordination council, and so ordination council was godly leaders in the church, local pastors. They came together. They questioned me. I had to go through a process. Now, keep in mind, Daniel, again, you were ordained in the CMA, right? Is that what I recall? Or Alliance?
Yeah,
So I was ordained then at a local church council. I was ordained when I was 20 years of age. So I had no seminary. I had an undergraduate degree in biology and chemistry with a couple of religion courses. And they determined, you know, I'd felt a call to plant a church in the inner city of Buffalo. And then I asked them to pray with me. They agreed together. These council came together. They agreed. So I went through the ordination council, then we had an ordination service, and I was set aside for that task and for that role.
Yeah. Okay. And I pastor at a Baptist church right now, but I was ordained with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and with them it was our district, one of our districts, that they had an ordination council from pastors from different churches and people from the district office who were there. But I had to submit, I don't know how many papers, and submit sermons. And it was really a very lengthy process. And then it was about a 2 to 3 hour interview with my spouse in front of this council, where they then asked me questions, my testimony, asked me to share my faith. I mean, just a ton of different theological questions as well. So with my dad being ordained in the Presbyterian church, it was interesting just to see the same process that he had to go through
as a presbytery?
Yes, it was. It was. It was the Korean American Presbyterian Church.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then you have our Anglican friends, and I mean, even just the Assemblies of God folk that we work a lot with, and just the entire spectrum. It's just fascinating just to even think through what ordination actually means, and the validity and the necessity of it today. So even before coming down to Lifeway, our denomination was wrestling through the meaning of ordination, because it's just, you know, what does that even mean today when, you know, what does church membership mean? What does, you know, affiliation to an airline mean? What does that all mean today in today's economy versus 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah, agreed. So I come back to his question. I appreciate the simplicity as of being a person of the book that I think you got to do what the Bible says. And there are constructs that develop that are more modern and sort of the modern era. It goes back not just to the modern era, but yeah. Constructs that develop later. But I'm perfectly okay with the way John Wimber turned to Johnny Crist one day in the mid-80s, said, man, you should go to Atlanta to plant a church. And he said yes, and they prayed and sent him out. And that looks to me a lot like the church at Antioch. And I do think there's a intentionality. I believe the Bible talks about two offices. Again, people, you know, our Anglican friends might have a third, or there are different ways to look at this. But pastor, deacon, and I think that the question of, do you ordain deacons? I set them apart. In my churches, I typically, we set apart pastors and deacons in a kind of special way. We do ordain really a nod to the construct that of the world around us, because that's kind of a recognized thing in society. We do ordain pastors who are going to be serving in that pastoral role in a local church.
Yeah. So then the second half of the question was just the whole idea of non-denomination, you know, planting non-denominationally or denominationally. And I was referencing that article that you had wrote about denominations, and we talk about denominations and networks in planting missional churches as well. But just what are some of your thoughts around there quickly?
Yeah, well, I do. I mean, I'm a denominationalist. I think that we can do more together than we could do apart. I wrote the cover story for Christianity. Denominationalism, is there a future? So again, it doesn't have to be even a traditional denomination. I'm a member of a traditional denomination. I've been connected and a leader in a traditional denomination. Yeah. I also think I've been engaged and connected with networks. I think ultimately my issue is the Great Commission is given to the local church, yet no local church can accomplish the Great Commission without partnering with others. I think those partners are called networks or denominations or movements or fellowships.
Yeah, that's a good word. And that's why we do the Church Planting Leadership Fellowship, which in November this year, we're actually going to be in New York, wrestling through what urban ministry looks like in New York with Tim Keller and his team and a few other planters out there. So, I mean, we so believe in the importance of learning with one another, even though we may plant differently theologically and have different mindsets around ecclesiology and views on that. The Great Commission has been given to all of us, right? So, Jason, thank you for your question. And yeah, if you have not yet left a rating and review for us on iTunes or Stitcher or however else you get your podcast, we would deeply appreciate that. We'll catch you next time.